Well, this is the interactive portion of the program. We're going to take your calls with Kimberly Friedmutter as we talk about subconscious power. How have you used your subconscious? Huh? You want to share that story too? We'll be right back. And welcome back, Kimberly Friedmutter with us, and her book is called Subconscious Power. Tell me that Mozart story again. That is intriguing. He tapped into this?
Yes. In fact, he was addicted to trance state, and the reason is because he was composing his operas during his trance state. And so, you know, if you imagine that you tap into something and you come up with this opera, right? So you think, oh my gosh, this is the portal for that. This is the well that you want to feed from and drink from. And so you can imagine how attractive that would be. And there's so many artists that report that they literally go into this zone. Even runners, you know, you hear the runner's high and that runner's zone where you're just running and running. I don't know if you run, but when you do, you know, you get this moment where you just don't even think about from point A to point B. You're just in this other zone where the mind just goes on, and much like that daydreaming state, it's just back and forth into other thoughts of not thinking. It's the most fun thing. I'm sure you've done this before. And then have you ever been past life regressed? Have you ever?
I have not. Like no, I have
no?
not.
Fascinating. You know, some people will.
I was Caesar, though, in a past life.
Oh, you were?
Yes.
And did somebody tell you that, or do you feel that?
No,
or
I made it up.
Oh, you made it up? Then there's that. Hey, if you have the outfit, you know, and was it the, oh gosh, not Honeymoon. What was the film? There was the series of the three with the guys that are so funny, and they're in Caesar's palace, and they said, oh my gosh, it really is made out of marbles. You know, it's like so cute. Caesar's is a lot of fun.
Interesting times. And are you traveling much because of COVID, Kim?
So by car, yes. I'm in California now, and of course I live in Las Vegas, and so, you know, the heat is just really super, super hot there right now.
It's going to be hot here, I'm told.
That's what I understand. Yeah, record heat. So that's what they say. I'm kind of looking forward to it because it's not in the triple digits as it is at home. You know, it's I think now they said like 116, 117 again. It pops
Jeez.
Up and goes back and down. You know, we'll have a week of the heat and then a little reprieve. So it's not terrible. But even Death Valley had, I think, record temperatures of 130 or something close to that this year.
Crazy times. Let's take some calls for you. Let's go to Joe in Monterey, California. Hey, Joseph, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call, George.
You're welcome, Joe. Thank you.
I love this subject. I think I spent most of my life in a trance.
This is right down your alley, isn't it?
Yes. In fact, in school, I used to find the answers. When you look at the ceiling and the teacher says that's not where you find the answers, that's where you find the answers. Yes, could you talk a little bit or explain the difference between your higher self or your trance state and your superconscious mind?
So, first of all, Joe, I love you. I just do. The whole idea of that looking at the ceiling, it's so funny because where your attention goes, grows. And you know that inherently. That's exactly what you're talking about. When you look up, something happens. You know, there's a reason why they say go to the mountaintop for the answers. You know, go high, get higher. There's a thing called God perspective. And whether you want to call that the superposition or God perspective, it's called many things over the years by many different people. But the idea is that you're up high looking down. And when you look down, you again engage in that broader view. If you were listening when we were talking about peripheral vision, that's left to right view, where you broaden your perspective. This is the same kind of thing, but looking down. And so if I were to do just a quick, super quick exercise where you have an event that maybe went bad between two people, you and someone else, and you imagine how that felt being in your body looking at that other person, that's first perspective. Then if you pop into that other person's body looking back at you and run that same scenario, you're going to have a different feel and experience of that same event. You can feel that now. And then if you were to pop up into third perspective, which is up high looking down at the both of you, chances are you might feel like it was a ridiculous thing to be involved in, or who cares, or you're going to feel different. You're going to feel pulled up out of it and emotionally detached from it. That's considered the God perspective or the super perspective. So there's that. Now, in the subconscious mind, there's also, you mentioned the higher self. That's our morality checker. That's the part where morals are, along with our faiths and beliefs. So all of that tied in together is really, really, really where all of that expanded experience lives in our mind.
All right, Joe, thanks for being part of the program. Truly appreciate it. It is very powerful, isn't it, the subconscious mind?
It's everything. It's your everything. How you feel and your perspective in life is what you perceive it to be, therefore what it is. So if you can adjust your perceptions now, you can literally adjust what's going to happen for the future.
Is it who we are, Kimberly?
Pardon me?
Is it who we are?
100%.
That's pretty big. That is pretty big. Next up, we go to Janet in Houston. Welcome to the program. Hi, Janet.
Oh, my goodness. Hello. Thank you, George. Oh, it's an honor to talk to you. And Kimberly, I could listen to you for hours. You, I'm a retired trauma nurse. And I can get into those zones like you were talking about with patients. But you would speak so well. You put so much into every sentence that I could listen to you for hours. I've never heard anybody speak as well as you do, and I've heard a lot of people speak. But I wanted to know if how do you do with the shame thing? Like you said, you talked about getting out of it.
You know, shame, depending on what it's about, is there's one thing that's super, super important to know, and this is a conscious thing. This is not subconscious, but it'll slide into that arena when you hear it. People care less about what you do than we believe. We're taught to believe that, in whether it's in school or whether it's parental, wherever that information comes from, one of the real plagues is that plague of thought that people care about what we do and how we run our lives. I liken it to that if you had poor eyesight and you were trying to look at something, it's a little diffused and a little blurry. That's how people look at us. They don't look at us with sharp focus like we look at ourselves and our behavior. And it's very important to know that, because when you think of people who have ended their life from shame and you know, you look at that and you think, I didn't care. Did you care? George didn't care. Did you care, Janet? Nobody really cared, certainly not enough to take a life. And it's not a we don't care exercise. It's really that nobody holds judgment like that. And when I say judgment like that, I don't mean the prior judgment we're speaking of. I mean punitive judgment, you know, kind of receptive judgment of how we feel and how we punish others. This isn't how we run our lives. People are doing the best they can. And when we keep that in mind, it really gives us a softness, and there's a sympathy and an empathy for people. So if we remember that people really have that, and we activate that all the time every day. So nothing is that bad. You know, you've heard it said, consciousness is that bad, and it's really true. So that's what I would say about shame.
Let's go to Walt in Pennsylvania. Hey, Walter, go ahead.
Hi, George. As usual, it's always great to be on with you, George.
Thank you, Walter. Go ahead.
George, I think that perhaps Donald Trump should hire Kimberly as sort of a pep girl. I think that, George, can you hear me, George?
Yeah, I can.
I think that some of the politicians have succeeded in putting this country into what I would call a state of paranoid hypochondria. Now, George, with all due respect, Dr. Fauci admitted before Congress that the masks, wearing masks covering your nostrils and the mouth are virtually useless because the virus can both enter and exit through your eyes, through your tear ducts, and there's also glands in the eyes called my bromion glands, if I recall from my pre-med studies, George. And you know.
And then he changed his mind on us.
That's right, George. And, you know, Joe Biden's saying that he would mandate the wearing of masks. Now, George, with all due respect, if Dr. Fauci admitted that the masks are useless unless the eyes are also covered, well, is Joe Biden going to say that we should all walk around in scuba gear? I mean, George, this is ridiculous the way we're being manipulated politically.
But Walter, I got to ask you, why are you always off topic?
George, I'm completely on topic, in my opinion. George, one topic melds into another.
Well, I know, but you've got the guest on. Are you going to ask her a question or not?
Well, as I would say, I think Kimberly admit that we are being manipulated into a state of, like I say, paranoid hypochondria. It's like the opposite of the placebo effect.
All right. I didn't hear a question there at all. But, Kim, are we being manipulated with COVID? We probably could be, but is it affecting the subconscious mind?
Anything is possible, and yes, because fear and anxiety is such a big thing, and you can see that it doesn't take too much to tip our scales. You know, we're very conscientious of danger. That's our first survival mechanism. Am I safe? And so when you don't feel safe, of course, everything, adrenaline, cortisol, all of those hormones and things and chemicals run through us like crazy to get our big muscles to move us to another place. The problem with COVID is that there isn't another place to move. It's the first time we haven't been able to extract ourselves physically from a situation to move to safety. So you can see what that's done. It's really wreaked havoc with our subconscious. Agreed.
Next up, let's go to Rick in Las Vegas, Nevada. First-time caller. Rick, welcome to the program.
Hi, George. Can you hear me clearly? I'm in my car.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Awesome. Real quick, I just want to retort on the gentleman that just called. Second Peter chapter 3, be anxious for nothing because that's never added a day to your life. So with that said, what I want to ask Kimberly, like I told your screener, oh, by the way, George, I'm honored to talk to you, man. I've been listening to you guys since Art Bell back in the 90s, man.
Wow. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
You're just off the hook. I would love to sit and have a chat with you because of all the stuff in life that I've, and all the UFOs, everything. But with Kimberly, I believe I heard her say she's located in Las Vegas.
Yes.
What I'm asking, is it possible? Now, I've done the Celestine prophecy. I tried to do all that back in the 80s or the early 90s, whatever. Because I'm a big fan of the subconscious mind. I've been trying through self-hypnosis to connect the subconscious to the conscious. But is it possible to purge all the negative stuff in life? Can I purge my subconscious mind from all the negatives? Now, I do know this about, I mean, I did a study on the power of the subconscious mind, bone breathing, all that kind of crazy stuff. I mean, I've been through the loop. But I would really love to delete all the negativity, the two divorces, I want to love and I want to be compassionate, you know, and think of just beautiful things in life and not have these thoughts just jump into my head. Is it possible to purge negativity from my subconscious? Because I know that the subconscious mind, that's our computer bank. It collects everything.
Well, can he do it? Kim, what do you think?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I love that you've done so much self-exploration. You know, I liken it to a grocery store. So, you know, you mop the floor and it's all clean, and then someone spills something, and that would be the divorce. And so it's clean up on aisle four. It's absolutely possible. The only way to do this is through the subconscious. And so you're absolutely on the right track and 100% right. Yes, you can.
How long does it take?
Show you how to do all of that. It doesn't take any time at all, George. It's one of those things where it's a decision to shift that perspective. It literally is as fast as those synapses and those neurons fire. It really is.
How do you know when it's clicking, when it's working?
You feel it. You feel it. All of a sudden, you can't access that emotion connected to that event anymore. When we go through and we start to delete emotions from events, it's usually just the emotional tie that has us twisted. So as he's saying, he's been through the loop. I love all of the verbiage you're using. It's so great, Rick. But the thing is that it's really so fast and easy. You don't have to hold on to it. You know, we're collectors. We take things and we put them like little chipmunks in our cheeks, and we hold on to things and we feel like that's our identity. Our identity is meant to evolve and to move and to elevate. It's not meant to stay stagnant and to really hold on to negative energies. It weighs us down. It hits us. You know, a myriad of habits and addictions start to form from things like that. It's as quick as changing your mind to do it. The book will teach you how.
Let's go to Thomas, truck driving in Oklahoma. Welcome to the show. Hi, Tom. Go ahead.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Okay.
Y'all, George, Kimberly.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've got a story to relate, and I want to know if it's conscious or subconscious.
Okay.
I've been driving for probably about almost 25, 30 years, and I used to get, you know, from state to state, and I used to get sick a lot, like colds, you know, how you, when you change environments and everything
sure.
like that. And the only way I could get rid of them is by that NyQuil, that generic NyQuil there in the truck stops. So I take it and I get well. So eventually I thought to myself, one of these times when, you know how, when you know you're getting sick, you got the roof of your mouth kind of gets, I don't know, it feels funny, you know, before you get a cold, a real bad cold. Well, what I do is instead of buying and taking that stuff, that NyQuil stuff, I would just tell it, hey, look, cold, I got something for you. You know, I got something for you that'll knock you out and don't even show up.
A little mind over matter, huh?
Yes, and that's what I was wanting. And believe it or not, for the past 15 years, I've never gotten sick because I would tell it that.
You know?
And
yes, so in the telling it, you're actually
conscious or conscious.
What's he doing, Kim?
He's boosting his immune system in the telling. So what happens is you absolutely are firing your own inner resources to fight that. It's a biochemical and also mental exercise that you're performing there. Good job.
That is like healing yourself, isn't it?
100% right.
That's very, very powerful. Kimberly Friedmutter with us, of course. The name of her book, Subconscious Power, available all over the place. How long has this book been out now?
So it came out in hardcover last April, and it came out in paperback on Tuesday. It's in its third printing already. I got an email today saying they're
good for
in print
you.
Number three since Tuesday. So it's literally a print per day.
Yeah, I believe you were on with me in April of last year when it first came out, weren't you?
Yes, it was fantastic, absolutely. And the book just has been selling like wildfire. It's because consciousness now is on everyone's mind. You know, we have Michelle Obama talking about it. We have this one and that one, Harry and Meghan. Everyone is really starting to get tapped into their mental state. We're tired of feeling like we're just, you know, I guess at whim and at will call of our thoughts and other people's thoughts. And so it's really time to take ecology, to take that sense of energy and agency and feel your own power. Because again, this is taking it back. It's almost like Wizard of Oz. It's been in you all the time. It's like you already have it. This book is just a guide. It's a manual. You have that mechanism. It's nothing that you don't already possess. So just use it to maximize your life.
Kim, we're going to come back and take some final phone calls with you in just a moment. When we come back, I want to ask you what you mean by drought. That's kind of intriguing. And we'll take some more final calls right here on Coast to Coast AM, and Tom will tell you a little bit about our TV show, Beyond Belief, when we come right back. On our next Coast to Coast program, we're going to talk about the life of Freddie Mercury from Queen. It's an amazing show. And then, of course, those Friday night into Saturday morning open lines. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, back with Kimberly Friedmutter, our final segment here as we talk about her work, Subconscious Power. What else are you working on these days, Kim?
So I'm putting together a podcast called Kimberly and the Queen. And if you're familiar with Jacqueline Siegel, considered the Queen of Versailles, if you've seen that documentary, it's pretty interesting. So she and her husband own Westgate Resorts, which is a privately held timeshare company.
Okay.
And so it's a lot of fun. Our first guest was Jennifer Harmon, who a lot of people know is the second time and two-time World Series of Poker Championship winner. So she's one of the most successful female poker players. And we asked her about her poker face, and we said, show us your poker face, and her face didn't change. It's just her face. So it's pretty funny. And then Donna Curry is also a guest, and she's a very prominent Las Vegas businesswoman and entrepreneur, one of the largest Subway restaurant franchise owners. And so it's just really neat. You know, we're able to tap into some really interesting folks and, you know, a lot of fun. And so that'll be coming. You can find that Kimberly and the Queen with local listings wherever. And then KimberlyFriedmutter.com. There's an e-course coming out, which is really fun. And, you know, it's a different way. I always say weight loss is really a neck up exercise. It's not, and I should just say weight management, because some people are actually trying to gain weight, but it's a neck up exercise. It has nothing really to do with the physical body. It's more about how you perceive food and why you're reaching for it. So kind of interesting stuff. And then of course I'm working on another book at all times.
Good for you. I had heard when Elvis died, he weighed 255 pounds.
Yes, and so what's interesting about that is Westgate was where he used to perform. It was the Hilton, I believe, at the time. And so it's funny that you tapped into that, because that was his location, and then the Westgate properties bought that location.
Yeah,
interesting that
interesting.
You
yeah.
said that if you didn't know that.
Joe in Boston, take it away, Joseph. Welcome to the
Good
show.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call, George.
Hi,
and Kimberly. I know they use hypnosis in the operating room in England, but I suffer from depression, and I am visually impaired and no family. I've often thought of suicide. Oh, I know you don't like it, but my couple of my friends have died. They were found dead on the floor. Nobody helps. You think people are doing the best they can. I have mixed feelings. Some are and some aren't. I just don't know what else to say. And I went to a friend's funeral who was killed by negligence and medical negligence, and it brings one to, and this COVID thing is out of control, and it brings one to think of suicide, because my family doesn't care. They make plenty of money, and I'm alone in an apartment, and I just like your thoughts, but I hope you understand why some of us feel the way we do today.
And Joe, you know, we love you. You keep checking in with us.
Well,
yes, and you know, sometimes, and even like sometimes we like to look at the end result and we say, oh, well, that wasn't the best.
Because I believe in hypnosis. I know it works, but I don't have the money to pay for therapy. I'm sorry. Okay, go on.
No, I understand. And the paperback is available for anyone. But here's the thing, is that the idea that someone is doing the best they can, sometimes the not good way for them is the best that they can. I mean, it's not a judgment on what the best they can is. It's the best they can at the time with the resources they have. I mean, even people when they end their own life, that is the best they can do at that time with the resources that they have. That really is their best. I come from a family of suicide. My grandmother, my mother, multiple times she tried.
Oh, geez.
And there are so many, I mean, it is prevalent. And for us not to look at it, and I so appreciate your question, Joe, and your call, because for us not to look at it is remiss. But sometimes that is the absolute best thing that person can be doing, you know, in their mind at that time with the resources.
Yeah. That's why it's on my mind. And is your book in audio? I can't get it. I don't have the money.
It sure is. But yes, it is in audio. Absolutely.
You mean Audible, not audio. Audible.
Yes, you can listen to the books. Yeah.
Yeah, but you have to buy it first. But what do people like me do? Because there's a point eventually that I'm going to reach my limit. I'm 73 years old. I've tried everything I can do, and things just, I fell through the cracks like you talked about earlier in the show.
Joe, what are you living on, by the way? SSI, is that it?
No, Social Security, and that's not much. That's $1,100 a month.
That is it. What's your rent?
Thanks for the vitamins. I'm on Section 8. I pay $260, but they pay the rest. I'm trying to get out of here. This landlord's not.
How long have you been blind, Joe?
I was RLF, a preemie baby. That means you're born with too much oxygen. I was a preemie.
So you were blind from birth.
Yeah, preemie. Yeah.
How did you make it? I mean, what was it like growing up as a kid, and you couldn't see anything?
Well, I did the best I could. There was a lot of violence in my home. I went to handicapped schools. Our problems started at the age of 10 to 12. Concentration, it wouldn't work. We couldn't talk to anybody. And living in an isolated environment with people that had money didn't help any, because we lived in a rich town. And our family just fell apart, and I was never accepted. But I did the best I could, George. It was difficult, but I did the best I could.
Hey,
but at a certain point, you know, like I hope Kimberly understands, when you don't feel you reached your limit, and what else can you do? Like, my friend was found dead on the floor in New Hampshire, and that's terrible.
How did that person die?
I think she was diabetic. She fell down and couldn't get up.
Oh, geez.
They found her a few days later.
And she was all by herself.
Yeah, like me and a lot of other people.
Who does your food shopping and stuff like that?
I go with a companion once in a while. I don't cook. I have to eat out, or they bring it because of COVID, which is another crazy thing. This whole thing is overdone, George, is COVID. And people's lives are ruined. We just lost another restaurant today. It's horrible. They should open the country up, like you said. I hope Kimberly agrees with you.
We may have a live show in Boston next year, Joe. If we do, I want you there as my guest.
Well, let me know. I hope you can help me get there. But
we'll make sure you get a ride and everything else.
All right.
Yeah, please get Joe's information, and we'll get him a book.
Okay, we're going to put you on hold. We're going to get your address for Tom. Tom, take his address and get it to Kimberly.
Get him for Audible.
Get him an Audible book, if you would, Kim, and we'll help him out. He's been a listener. God, I've been doing this show going on 18 years, and he's been there all along. Thanks, Joe. Mary in New Jersey, welcome to the program. Hi, Mary. Go ahead.
Hello. I'm totally sad now. It's a shame they can't get, like, somebody buy one big house and put people together, like an organization, not in rest homes and all, but like the Golden Girls, like have them all together. Anyway, this is my question, and hello, everybody.
Yeah.
A psychiatrist, doctor using hypnosis, can they permanently take away a memory from someone, like for the rest of their life? They cannot remember it. They block it. And in the reverse, can they implant false memory where it stays there forever?
So it's very interesting, because trance state can do that if it's ecological for you. So no one can make you do something that you wouldn't normally do. You know, that's a misnomer. You see that in Hollywood films and whatnot, where, you know, you go rob a bank and this kind of thing. You can't be made to do something that you wouldn't normally do. So if that memory, if that's something that you really want to hold on to, you're not going to be able to, you know, not be able to access it. Of course, with surgery and things, you know, that people sometimes can't access memories through certain regions of the brain, that's different. That's biology. So what happens then with trance is that you can, you know, our mind without even trance, so just say it's natural state of trance, you can remember things wrong. And that's why eyewitnesses and people like that, you know, when they call people to the stand, it's very sketchy, and it can be tricky, because memories, I mean, I do this fairly common. I'll have a memory, my perspective of a situation that just isn't the way it played out, but that's the way it was stored in my memory bank. So we have to be very careful when we say, I remember, because it doesn't necessarily mean that it's absolutely the way that it played out in real life.
You do a great job for people, Kim. You know that? Can you imagine how many people you help out?
You know, you just can't ever do enough. That's my feeling on it. It's just as much as there is of me, and as many colleagues as I have, and our reach as broad as you know, it just seems like it's just never enough. So thank you for noticing.
Let's go to Baker City, Oregon. Corey's with us, west of the Rockies. Hey, Corey, thanks for holding. Go ahead, sir.
Hello. Hi. I love you guys. It's amazing what you've done for this country, keeping everything positive and everything. But
thank you.
I'm just kind of wondering about, as we slide into a depression here, if they, you know, they're pulling away our rights and making us wear a mask, and it's really not even an issue. What happens when the prevailing consciousness becomes encumbered by the, you know, worry about their future and the money. I've been at Greek Slack, for that matter. I've been really depressed, like that guy from Boston. I see so many people at the liquor store.
Record numbers. Numbers. And as a matter of fact, Kim, divorces are up 30%.
Yes.
Since all
too
this.
Much time together. Yes. Too much self-inventory, too much time together. You know, we are out of sorts. We're all lopsided about this. And people do grab, they either grab mental health, they grab alcohol or sugar. Those are the three that are soaring off the charts in popularity now. And it is, you know, we're constantly trying to self-soothe. And self-soothing is whatever we can grab. And there's no fault, there's no judgment there whatsoever when it comes to that. The thing is that you can grab the good and you can grab those other things as easily. It's the time to really hunker down and become that mental athlete. It's the time to really go in and really dig for what you know you need. So, yes, we've had our time of grabbing bottles and grabbing pills and grabbing sugar and grabbing food and all of these things. And now it's time for us to snap out of it, because it's apparent that us and only us are going to really, I guess, elevate out of this thing. You know, it really is how you treat it and how you feel about it. We're just there. I feel the dawn coming, and it's always darkest right before the dawn.
Well, and people need other people, Kim. And
yes.
That's the one thing COVID has separated.
Yes. And it's made us afraid of each other. I mean, when I approach people now today, even a client earlier today, I just feel like, you know, elbow, elbow, foot, foot, you know, we're really just afraid. People stepping aside, you know, it's interesting what it's done to the psyche. It's really fascinating.
Let's go next to Marie in Medford, Oregon. Welcome to the program. Hi, Marie.
Yes. Good morning, George, Linda, Marie. Good morning, Kimberly.
Hello there.
Hello. Yes, I want to echo Walter's question. What he meant to ask is this mass hysteria from COVID-19 is kind of a divide and conquer. It's mind control, because united we stand, divided we fall. And Kimberly, do you think it's a form of coercion into obedience and lining up for vaccines, which I'm not going to do myself? And so that's my question. Thank you.
You know, that's
good job.
Personal interpretation is key, and vaccines and all of that. It just feels like the numbers are just so out of line with the reactions and actions. Now, granted, we haven't been through something like this before, you know, in this lifetime, unless you're older. My father's 91, born in 29. And so he didn't even see, you know, the 1918 issues. And so here we are. And it really is how you take it. We again, with full autonomy, have the power, the interest, and the motivation to be literally our own sense of agency on it. I mean, whether mask, whether this, whether that, how you come out of it. And again, we're right there. And so if you can just hold on, and this time under tension is not to be overlooked, if you can just hold on and literally just make it to the next day, to the next day, to the next day, then you decide for yourself. You know, how you feel about the science is strictly up to you. This is a complete personal, interpersonal exploration and decision for you. And I appreciate you asking.
Let's take a real quick question with Michael in Detroit. Hey, Michael, go ahead.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good, my friend, my Detroiter buddy.
I'm curious about the psychopath mind and how it operates different, because I worked for a woman for a few years who just, she could size me up very quickly. She knew my weaknesses, my strengths. They're like predators, and she knew how to manipulate people so easily.
Well, no, you're right about that. People like Ted Bundy, a psychopath and a serial killer, knew how to read people. Only have about a minute left, Kim. What do you think?
Well, predators, you know, that's plain and simple, just predators. So they think differently. They don't have a conscience. They don't have that guilt sector, you know, anger, sadness, fear, hurt, guilt. They're missing the last one. And so, yes, and you can't see it. You know, that's the scary thing, is you have to, again, go back to that judgment for yourself when you meet people, and I'm sure we all do. It's just exercise that judgment. It's the smartest, quickest, best thing you can do to protect yourself.
The name of the book, Subconscious Power. Kim, would you quickly spell out your website for folks? We've got it linked up at Coast to Coast, but a lot of people just like to know what it is.
Yes, it's Kimberly Friedmutter, F-R-I-E-D, spelled like fried, Mutter, M-U-T-T-E-R.com, KimberlyFriedmutter.com, and available and everywhere, retailers nationwide and all over the internet with social media at Kim Friedmutter, K-I-M Friedmutter.
Kim, thank you for being on the program. It's always good talking to you.
My pleasure.
Kimberly Friedmutter, again, her website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. She did a great job. Stick with us tomorrow. First couple hours, the life of Freddie Mercury from Queen, and then those Friday night into Saturday morning open lines. For Michael Cosio, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, Ian Punnett, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.